Hey, what's up, guys? It's Soda Mojo again. Your normal host, Adam, is not here today, so you've got contributing writers Riley Baker and Alex Summerfield for podcast number 7. Say what's up, Alex.
What's up? Adam, fix your Wi-Fi. We'll see you next week.
So we're going to cover what we've seen the first week of the season. Not a great start. We'll go over our interesting stat of the week, like we have been. We'll talk about the offense, what's been going on, what we think needs to change. The pitchers have been good. We'll talk about that, who stood out, who's been good, what maybe needs to be worked on. We'll touch on the defense, what we've seen there. We'll look at some good and some positive players and some players who can improve. We'll look at the minor leagues, see what's going on down there, and then we'll finish up with the people's voice questions. So we're through the first week of the season. A little bit disappointing. 1-6 record.
All right. A lot of
not exactly what we've been expecting. Got swept by the Angels in a pretty just a rough game today.
Yeah, we have to point out that we're recording this post 7-run ninth inning for the Angels, just to put that out there. So it's kind of it's not a good mood right now.
Not a great way to end the road trip. Hopefully things can get turned around on the homestand. So I guess we'll just go into our interesting stat of the week. Unfortunately, it's not a great stat. It's kind of just the run scoring or lack thereof. Scored 22 runs in the first 7 games. It's good for 3.1 runs per game. And that was even padded by the 9 runs we scored in the loss today. Before that, in the first 6 games, we'd only scored 13 runs, 2.1 runs per game. Run differential, we've been outscored 32-22. It's a minus 10, obviously not what you want to see. And then as far as runners in scoring position, that's also just been dismal. 7-51, which is an average of 137. So
okay, you threw a lot of numbers at me, but like the gist is they just are not getting on base, they're not hitting, they're not doing much of anything. So I think you started with runs. I mean, yeah, if you don't count today, which was nice to see, Cano haul a 3-run home run and his 2-run double, which is nice to see. But you didn't see anything from Cruz, or you didn't see anything from Seager, really. Or basically anyone else but Segura. I mean, Segura's doing well, too. So yeah, they just aren't scoring runs. That's so low. I mean, you kind of think, I mean, no one really questioned the pitching staff too much, but I mean, there was just because it's opening day. I mean, it's the first week, it's a new season. You're optimistic that everything's going to go well, and now everything's not going the way you planned. And it's kind of depressing to watch. I know. I mean, I don't think it's time to panic yet. You know, it's very early, but it's not what you expected to see. Two runs a game before today. That's so bad.
That is really bad. Especially from an offense that, you know, looked really good coming into the season. Yeah,
Spring training had a lot of nice pieces. A lot of guys were coming back.
Yep. So what do you think is going on with the M's offense? What are some main concerns that you can point to?
They're not getting on base. I mean, you can't really score runs. You don't get on base unless you just hit a bunch of homers, but they've only hit, what, 3-4 home runs? Haniger has 2, right?
Haniger has 3 now.
He hit one today. Haniger's looking good. Ooh, that's your guy, too.
I know. That is my guy.
Segura's got one.
He's my rookie of the year choice.
Rookie, okay. But yeah, I mean, but still, your 4 or 5 guys aren't hitting, and then you're getting basically nothing from the bottom of the lineup. I mean, you're just not getting on base. You can't do much if guys aren't getting on base, to quote Billy Bean. Maybe Billy Bean didn't say that really. But he probably did. Anyways, but to quote his movie character, you got to get on base. To quote a movie character, you got to get on base. They're not scoring runs. If we want to go back to Jay DePota, are they controlling the zone? That's one of more Jay DePota's favorite words, along with organizational depth.
Yeah.
Is he doing that? It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, as far as what I've been seeing, it looks like they're kind of trying to do too much, I think. They're kind of just being really aggressive and trying to hit everything. They're swinging at a lot of junk. not like seeing pitches. I think they need to kind of take a step back and, you know, just go back to the basics. Like, they can hit. They've all been there. They know how to hit. Just take a breath, see pitches, do their thing. I think they're just trying to overdo it right now. I think they're excited for the season. I think they'll mellow out once they get home
and just do their thing. Yeah. And Seager's just continuing his April struggles that he's had the past couple of years, which...
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully that's done. I thought that would be done with him. I mean, it happens to you twice. Or like maybe he changed his offseason and did something earlier or did something different than he's done in the past. But it's only a week, first week of the season. I don't think panicking is the thing to do yet. But
oh yeah, no, there's still 155 games.
It's
left.
I don't think we should keep expecting him to do this as far as. Next, I think Seager will obviously definitely break out of his slump, but will his April struggles continue for the rest of his career? That's something you want to see changed, and hopefully him and Cruz can get out of their slumps.
We'll switch to a little bit of more of a positive note. The starting pitching has still been really good. What are some spots some bright spots in the starting rotation that you kind of noticed?
Felix and Iwakuma have been nice. have been really nice. They've only given him a couple runs, and even though Felix got hurt, but then he kept pitching, which I thought was a good sign, and then they took him out early. I was confused by that. But he made his next start, looks good. Iwakuma's look good. I mean, they've all pretty much looked good, except even Gallardo. I guess he was leaving some pitches out over the plate, but he didn't give up too many runs. No one's looking too bad. I mean, Astros series, I saw some stat, you know how everything's like sabermetrics in baseball. Of the home runs that were hit, four or five or six home runs that the Astros hit that series, at least three of them were under like 25% chance of being a hit. Yeah, just like exit velocity and angle.
Yeah,
or something
it's a
like
tough
that.
Ballpark to pitch.
Yeah, maybe we should raise the question of should Houston get rid of that short perch in left field, because they're just routine off. And George Springer's having a heck of a first week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a good lineup in a good hitting ballpark. So
maybe
and a lot of those home runs were solos too. They didn't have people
right.
on base. Which...
That was kind of the good thing is that even though most of the starting pitcher gave up home runs, they were solo. Which if you're gonna give a home run, that's obviously the best one.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe Springer is replacing Altuve as the Mariner killer.
Yeah.
Altuve did not look.
As long as they're not both just killing us.
Only one of you can kill us.
Yeah,
I guess
if we can just keep one in line.
I guess Altuve struck out 5 times in that series, and he only struck out against the Mariners 5 times all last year. Some stat like that, but he's just like, I saw that somewhere.
That's a good trend.
But I don't. not for Altuve.
Get back to the starting pitchers. I got to highlight Paxton's start. I mean, that start really kind of looked like what we want him to do this season. He went 6 innings, allowed 2 hits, you know, struck out 5. He really just shut down the Astros, you know, more than any of the other starters really could. Who else? I think Felix was the only one that, who else didn't allow a run? Someone allowed 1 run.
Paxton looked good, didn't he?
Yeah, Paxton didn't allow any runs.
He went 6 and he gave up. I think Paxton gave up 1. I think they all gave up runs, but it was only like a run or 2 or maybe 3. Maybe the bullpen gave up 1. But just there was no offense in the Houston series.
Yeah, exactly. So for the starting pitchers now, what do you think they need to work on? What improvements can be made?
Starting pitching or the offense?
Yeah.
Don't give up home runs. I mean, that's as simple as... I mean, that's kind of their biggest problem right now. I'd say is they're giving up home runs. The whole pitching staff is giving up home runs. Even the bullpen, the home run to Trout the other night in clutch time, I guess you want to call it, or crunch time. That's a better term. I don't think you want to be pitching to Trout in that kind of situation. It's just... I just... Stop giving up home runs. But if they're going to go home runs, solo home runs. Because otherwise they've looked pretty good to me. Just the offense is just not helping them out besides today. So I guess if we're going to give a positive point, if this is what this part was about, was to give a positive point, is that the offense looks like it's turning around, but now a bullpen that we didn't think was going to have issues had issues, and that's including our star closer, who I predicted to have 60 saves. Oh, no.
Yeah, he had a chance to get a save today, and he already blew it, Alex.
Well, he has
a lot of walks today, too. I think the team, the pitching staff as a whole today gave up like 7 walks. And that's that was really the whole demise of that inning. I think they walked 4 guys that inning.
So, right, and Jerry DePoto wants to play that interesting kind of game. He doesn't want it to be boring. He doesn't want you to walk. He wants to get steals and all that good stuff on offense. And as for pitching, you don't want to just be throwing balls all the time. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But the more strikes you're throwing, the more it's going to be put in play, and your defense is making plays. And it's a more interesting, upbeat kind of brand of baseball. It's more interesting to talk about, or interesting to watch, as far as all these people that saying baseball is boring.
So, I mean, yep.
Yeah, walks. I mean, walks are never good, and that's probably why they lost today.
Yep, yep. Do you think this team's missing Drew Smyly at all?
No.
No, I don't
miss. I mean, they didn't have.
I think
last
it's too
year.
Early to tell too. Yeah, Miranda like pitched pretty well.
Starting pitcher has not been bad. I mean, I guess
right.
If you want to go off his one start against Felix and Venezuela in the World Baseball Classic, and if you think you're going to get that Smyly every time, I don't think we're going to get that Smyly every time. It'd be nice if we did. But I think it'll be close to that. I mean, I'm not missing Smyly, just not yet. It's not like starting pitching has been atrocious so far.
Yeah.
No one's got and lit if, up.
Yeah, and if Miranda can keep pitching like he did, you know, maybe Smyly comes back. And Gallardo's the one that goes.
Right.
If he keeps his, you know. So who knows? We do have that depth.
That's true. I mean, who are you going to kick out when Smyly comes back? Even though Smiley's not coming back for another 2 months, maybe?
Yeah, probably mid-June or something.
Yeah, he's not coming back. Who's going to be kicked out when they come back? But I guess you don't have to worry about that. And a lot of things are going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Early on, I don't really know who you kick out. Probably Gallardo. I don't know. I mean, maybe not Gallardo. Maybe it's Gallardo or Miranda. I guess it's too early to tell, though.
Yep.
I'm not missing him just because it would be different because if Smyly hasn't been around that long, if it's Felix, I always still get to miss him just because it's Felix and he's been around so long. Even I miss Iwakuma or Paxton or anything just because I know him and I know what he can be. I'd feel like I haven't seen enough of Smyly just because he's been so far away from us.
One guy we're not missing is George Springer. As we talked about before, he's just having a monster year.
A monster week. It's not a year. It hasn't been a year.
It's hard. Well,
he's on pace. He's on pace for a monster year. He had a nice week.
Yeah.
We'll see how the rest of the season goes. He could not get a hit the rest of the season and be like, dang, that guy's terrible. Anywho.
So what do the Mariners need to do about him? You know, they have this home series against them. That's what do they need to do? How can pitchers adjust to him?
I could just give him the go to first.
Just walk him?
Just intentionally. I don't know. The Cubs did that to Bryce Harper a couple years ago. I don't think that worked very well, but that is for realisticness. He'll be away from Houston where the ball is going to fly a lot better than it does in Seattle, and there's no short ports even though they moved the fences in. How long has it been since they moved the fences in? 5, 3 years?
What, 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's no short porch in Houston where he'll get a, like his walk-off wouldn't have been a walk-off in Seattle.
Yeah, that would have been a fly-off.
I think it might be a little bit better, and now they've seen him again. They have a little bit more of a scouting report on him, even though he's been around for a while, but he's really good. So I think just being in Seattle and they've already seen him, and hopefully he'll cool down in this somewhat of a springy winter weather there is in Seattle.
Yeah, hopefully getting out of his comfort zone at Minute Maid Park really helps the Mariners pitching. And like you said, they've probably looked at the scouting report now. They'll probably be a lot more careful pitching to him, try and hit the edges more, throw a lot more, you know, quality pitches, some junk at him, just see what they can do. And hopefully they can keep him in the yard. So Jerry DePoto upped the athleticism on defense in the offseason. Have you seen any upgrades in the field?
I think we're mostly seeing it in the outfield, and especially with Dyson. He made a couple of plays in Houston that Aoki never would have made. It's kind of ironic that Aoki is in Houston playing left field. But I think we definitely saw some upgrades from Dyson. Leonis still has his nice strong arm. No one really tested him too much in that series. And Haniger is cool. All right. Haniger. Yeah. Haniger's offensive. He's been so much. He's been so productive offensively. Even though, I mean, he can play center. I would like to see Haniger play center field just to see it. I don't think we've seen it too much, especially with Leonis's struggles. I said they put Dyson out there the other day. Maybe give Haniger a shot since they're calling him all three center fielders in the outfield. And then, I mean, the infield's basically the same. Danny Valencia has actually been impressive. They've doubled up a couple guys at first off of just they're like hitting runs and then it gets hit right to the outfield. They doubled up a couple guys and then Danny Valencia's made some nice stretches and some nice picks on those plays. I've been impressed with Valencia. He's pretty athletic. I don't want to say sneaky athletic because he's a white guy, but he's athletic.
Yeah, definitely. The defense is huge this year. Everyone, you know, the infield's great. Segura is an upgrade from Marte, I'd say, by far. Right, and
people were questioning, because he played second in Arizona last year, if he could make the move short. Even though he played short before, which I was like, why are you questioning that? But yeah, Segura's looked really good. Cattell, he made some couple errors. Cattell's in the minor leagues for the Diamondbacks right now. I think we kind of won that trade so far. We have to do a trade.
So far, 1 week into the season.
Yeah, but we lost everything else. All right.
We can make assumptions 1 week into the season. It's fine.
Assumptions are good. No, okay.
They can be, I guess. I don't know.
George Springer. But yeah,
we
good.
Have the
is
two basically established center fielders in left and center in Martin and Dyson. And Mitch Haniger's, you know, he's athletic enough, and he played center field in Arizona last year, which is also a pretty spacious outfield. So he can, you know, he can get to balls more so than Seth Smith could.
Seth Smith hit a home run for the Orioles the other day. I think it was to win the game, too, or just to take the lead. Yeah, nobody really thought about it. No one really addressed that when he got traded. It's like, oh, we got our fifth starter, but I feel like no one talked about, oh, we're losing the dad of the team.
The dad.
He's the dad. He drives a minivan. I don't know. But no one really talked about the absence of Seth Smith. I feel like that was kind of an under-talked about topic. He was good.
Yeah, a lot of people liked him. Him and Dejo.
Dejo. Valencia's been better than Dejo. But Dejo's still just Dejo. And there's not going to be that Dejo at Safeco anymore. Dejo. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the team this year.
That's right.
And speaking of those players, who has stood out as... Name one good player that has stood out and one who has stood out poorly. This season, this first week of the season.
This week. So this is episode 7, but week 1 of season. Okay, just to clear that.
Yes.
For my pick for most impressive has been James Pazos. He hasn't given up a run. He's only walked one guy, and that was kind of his question coming once he got traded to the Mariners was, he's his overpowering arm, but his command sort of struggles. But he's cut down on that, and he hasn't. Yeah, like I said, he hasn't given a run in 4 2/3 innings. I mean, he's been impressive to me. And then my bad guy, my not productive guy. I don't want to. I was Shane Leonis. I like Leonis, but he's been struggling this week. He doesn't have too many hits. At least his defense isn't sloughing. I mean, if I have, he's been bad at the plate, but I think he'll get that uptick pretty soon.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see his bat, you know, even though he's only hitting 8 and 9 in the lineup.
He's another leadoff
hitter. Has a little bit of leeway down there, but still, you know, what's he hitting, like 0.08? That's not good for anyone.
That's good. So I don't know what that's good for.
My one good standout player that I chose was I took the easy choice in Gene Segura.
Gene.
Like Denim. He's... You know, his bio on MLB.com, under the pronunciation, it just says, like blue jeans. So.
He even has an emoji for his first name.
He's hitting .333 in 7 games. 10 for 30. He even has a home run, 3 RBIs. He's stolen 3 bags. He's basically doing it all when no one else on offense really is.
I somewhat predicted his home run after.
Yeah.
I said, well, I thought it'd be a leadoff home run to start. I think that was the second or third game in Houston. I'd said on my little post that reviews our in-game poll that we've been doing. I said he'll hit a leadoff home run because they hadn't hit a home run yet. And he hit one in that game, but it wasn't a leadoff. But so I was like, somewhat, I'll take credit for that. Okay, and who was your bad guy?
My bad guy was Nelson Cruz.
Oh.
He is also down with Lanus, hitting with an average of 0.80, on base percentage of 200. So
should we raise the question that he's getting old? How old is he? He's 36, 37, right? Is it okay to raise the question that he's getting old, or is that? I mean, that could be like our 1 week in overreaction. Is Nelson Cruz is getting old?
Yep, yeah, that could be our overreaction. He's aging. He is aged. He is done for.
that'd be too much of an overreaction, but
yeah, he does have 4 walks though.
Ooh,
which isn't, you know.
Billy Beane's gonna.
Nelson Cruz has always been able to put up good at bats. That's kind of what separated him from the other sluggers, you know, that hit a lot of home runs. He does put up good at bats, and he can have a higher average and on base. So at least he's seeing pitches. I think it kind of goes back to I think the hitters are just kind of excited and trying to do too much. Another guy that's been doing really well is another back to my guy Mitch Haniger.
Mitchell Haniger.
Mitchell Haniger.
Is that what it is? Did you do your research? Can we just assume it's Mitchell Haniger? What else could it be?
I don't know. Let's see. Full name, Mitchell Evan Haniger.
Really? There we go.
There we go.
Mitch E. All right, sorry. I'm going to start calling him Mitchie. Anyways. He's looked good.
Yep. 3 home runs in 7 games. I don't know what that projects out to.
So he has more home runs than any the whole Mariners combined. At least he's ahead of Bumgarner now.
Yeah. Let's see. That projects to...
Oh, we're doing projections.
17 home runs?
That is not right.
Oh, wait. This is projecting him in 122 games in a season.
Oh, my goodness. Get your math together.
Come on, MLB.
We're right. It's not mathematicians.
I mean, yeah, he's hitting .214. Not super great, but he is a rookie entering, you know, he's in a whole different league.
It's kind of
new pitchers.
I feel like it's like Haniger's gonna, he's here and he's gonna do good. Even like when he first got traded, I remember writing the piece for that and I was just like, he was just kind of like an add on to the Gene Segura, and now he's our starting right fielder. And I kind of it feels like people would forget that he's a rookie. I think that people kind of forget that, and he's gonna have his struggles, even though he's batting in the 2-hole in this pretty nice lineup.
Yeah, but he only played 34 games last year and had 109 at bats. In those 34 games, he had 5 home runs. So, he's almost already matched his home run output from last season. 10 strikeouts is kind of a lot, though. But I mean,
especially he's a rookie.
That's kind of what you'd expect. He also has a stolen base, though. So back to the athleticism.
Back to getting on base.
Speed. He gets on base, and he's got some sneaky speed.
No, don't say that. Don't say sneaky. He just has speed.
Well, I feel like people
don't
really
stereotype,
know that
Riley.
Okay.
We said he's a center fielder. He must have speed.
Yeah, that's fair.
There we go.
That's fair. All right, now we'll go ahead and look at our. We'll do a minor league update. So,
do we have music for that? Dun, 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 dun. I'm sorry. That just seemed like a music moment. Like, time for a minor league update. Dun, 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 dun. Like, transition. Anyways.
Anyways.
Anywho.
Tacoma's played a couple games.
They got rained out in Sacramento. I didn't know it rained in California.
Yeah, well, the Mariners game a couple days ago kind of got delayed a few minutes, I think.
That was for bees. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
no, there's always bees. Like, anywho, they're in Sacramento. What happened?
Tyler O'Neill is still strong. He hit a home run.
The guy with the simplest signature ever. I think it's just T-O-N, but it looks cool. Anyways.
Yeah, he hit a home run yesterday, I think. He went 1-for-4 with a home run and 3 RBIs in their game. Chris Heston made his first start in that game. He went 5 innings pitched, allowed 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks. You know, not a super impressive start line, but he did strike out 9 in those 5 innings.
Wow. Yeah, I see him as Well, if once Smiley comes back, he would be probably the third replacement starter behind Ariel Moonboy Miranda and Overton, and he would be the guy after that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have a lot more options, a lot more
organizational depth,
quality options than we did last year. And exactly. At the AA level, I think they've played four games on the 6th, which I believe was Thursday.
That would be Friday. No.
Friday?
I don't know. Sure. One of those two days.
Well, just April 6th.
Over the weekend,
Ian Miller had a stolen base.
He's really fast, right?
He had two stolen bases, believe it or not.
He's fast.
In the four games they've played, he's 2-for-4. Or no.
Is he Billy Hamilton 2.0? Or he's not that fast? Let's just exaggerate and claim that he is that fast.
He's faster.
He's faster than Billy Hamilton. You heard it here
first.
We'll see.
On the 6th, he went 2-for-4 with a triple. That was their opening game. You know, he's hitting .333. He has two steals. So he's kind of continuing the success he had in spring with the speed, getting on base. Andrew Moore started their opener on the 6th as well. He went 6 strong innings, allowed 1 hit, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, didn't allow a run. So that's good, obviously.
He could be one of those guys, too, that we were talking about as replacement starters. That would probably be a lot down the line during this season, but if there's people struggling and... Because he looked good last year, looked good during the spring, and you just said he looked good during his first start. I think he could be one of those guys. He's one of their top prospects. I think he could make one of the starts later on in the season, depending on how things go with the rotation and injuries and whatnot. Or maybe he could come out of the bullpen.
Yeah, you never know. He could come out of the bullpen.
Never know when you'll need an arm. Organizational depth. Third time we've said that. We need a tally.
We need a tally. But at the end, we can give our total.
Sounds like a plan.
Also in AA, the second game on the 7th, they started Max Povzy, which is kind of a new name for a lot of you, I think. I did look it up. I looked it up on his bio. It is Max Povzy.
How does it? It's like P-O-V-S-E?
P-O-V-S-E. Povzy.
The more you know.
Yep, learn his name because he went 7 innings, allowed 2 hits, struck out 5, and walked 1.
He's the next Taiwan Walker. Oh, wait. Oh. That was mean. I'm sorry. Taiwan Walker should be a closer, but that's another story.
That's another story. He's not on the Mariners anymore, so.
Form X-Mariner alert. That sounds like something that would be have music, too. Da-da-da, X-Mariner alert. You know? Like breaking news. Anywho.
Continue I mean, we with could your add story that, yes. But yeah, Povzy had a strong start as well, so that's some good young pitching that we're seeing in the minors, which is always good.
And what about your guy Jordan Cowan?
My guy Jordan?
Yeah.
Jordan Cowan. He is with the Modesto Nuts.
Yeah. Advanced. Did you look at how to say Modesto? I think I just said it right. Ooh.
Modesto?
No. Is that how you say it? Say that.
Modesto, yeah.
Where is Modesto?
I don't know.
Ohio?
I don't know. Anyways, Jordan Cowan, he has played 3 games so far. He is hitting 545 through 3 games.
That's above 50%.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, back to the assumptions.
Ooh.
At this rate.
He'll be hitting 540 whatever at the end of the season.
Yeah. 6-for-11, 2 doubles, 2 RBIs, a stolen base. He's off to a hot start, so shout out to Jordan Cowan.
Yay.
So now we'll move on to our people's voice questions.
Ooh.
Just, you know, somewhat random questions, although today they do kind of have to do with the Mariners home opener. Our first question is, what is your Mariners home game ritual? So what do you do before a Mariners home game?
Okay, so we'll do when you're at home. And then also when you go to the game, I think that's our plan, right? All right, so at home, I got a lot of notifications on my phone about the Mariners. I don't get a lot of other notifications, but so normally I'll get this little notification like, the Mariners are starting, like, oh, to the TV. And especially now that I'm in my dorm, it's my TV's right there, right by my bed, and it's pretty easy to get that on. So watch a little bit, you know, maybe get some food going, get some dinner, watch it with the family. That's normally how it goes. Always, you know, constant updates on the game and whatnot. And when I go to the game, I guess I'd say we normally park. I don't know where the heck we park. We're going to start with parking. That's how early we're starting for the game. That's our tradition, or that's what we normally do. We park. I don't even know what street that is. We park a little bit away from the stadium, kind of by the train tracks. Walk up. We normally enter through, I want to say that's the right field gate? Yeah. Normally enter through the right field gate. And normally, I guess I'd say I'd find my seats depending on where I sit. I kind of sit all over the place. I've sat 100 level, 300 level, the left field bleachers, right field. I sit all over. I don't really, I'm not a season ticket holder who has one spot. But so normally I go find my seat, probably watch a little bit of batting practice, I'd say. And then I go get my Catalina nachos. Those are the best thing I've ever had in my life. I get those every time. They're beautiful. So I get those. I go eat those. And that's probably, I want to say like half hour before first pitch, I go get those. And after that, I just kind of sit down and watch the game. I'm not a scorekeeping kind of guy. I just watch the game and take it all in. I don't get up and go walk around the stadium or anything. I'm here to watch a game, not to explore the stadium. I just feel like that's how stadiums are going, Johnny. But I'd say that's my tradition for when I go to games. What about you, Riley Baker?
Yeah, my rituals are pretty similar, if you want to call them rituals. Just at home. I mean, recently, my work schedule's kind of gotten in the way, so I'll just see my notifications. What?
Where do you work?
UPS.
Do you get free shipping?
No, I get 5% off.
Oh, it's lame. Anywho, what are you saying?
So I'll basically just get my notifications, you know, listen to the end of the game on my way home from work around 9 or so. Before that or on weekends, you know, I'll either listen to the game or I'll watch it. Basically, just wherever I am. I mean, kind of. If I'm sitting down and just watching the game on TV, I'll usually be on Twitter too, just kind of scrolling through, seeing, you know, like Ryan Divish and Shannon Dre are tweeting or seeing what other fans are saying, just kind of getting a feel of where everyone else is at.
Ryan Divish tweets out that they give up a run or they lost, and all these overreactions of angry Mariner fans are like, the season's over, the go Seahawks, and that's kind of how it goes. Like, I knew they'd suck.
There's a lot of that.
Very negative Mariners fans sometimes.
Yeah, and then when I go
to
a game,
we're here to tell you not to panic. That's why we're here today.
Everyone,
that's why you're listening to this podcast, not to panic.
Calm down. We're going to be fine. We're still going to make the playoffs.
Everybody panic! That was my thought. And Kobe Patnode, our other contributor, he also had that same thought. Of, I don't know, what movie is that from where he's like, everybody panic? Is that a Will Ferrell thing?
I think so.
Oh, I can't. Why don't I've seen so many movies?
I don't remember.
Lovely. Anyways, what about when you go to the games?
When I go to the games, I park in the same place that you do. Like, you're talking about, like, that kind of gravel alley.
Yeah, the one where we. Never mind. I don't want to give our secrets away.
The secret free parking. That was always full. That I'm pretty sure everyone knows about.
Yeah, anywho.
You know, just like kind of back by that, what is, I think there's like,
then you walk by Filson's or something. People and then...
So then you walk up the stairs, you go into the right field gate. Yep, I do that. I'll typically get there like an hour to an hour and a half before the game starts.
I didn't say that, but same.
Go down to the seats, check them out. I like to sit in the right field, outfield reserve section, like section... I think it's like 108 and 109.
You've sat in King's Court a couple times, right?
Yeah, I have sat in the King's Court a couple times.
What do you say is different from King's Court as compared to just regular? Is it more of a workout because you got to stand up a lot?
There is a lot of standing.
There's more energy?
That's the thing. There's a lot of energy down there. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's standing up. Everyone is just like waving their K cards around, you know? It gets rowdy down there. It almost feels like a Seahawks game in that section.
Is it leg day, kind of? standing up and sitting down.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad.
What do you normally go eat around? I figure no, you normally eat before. We've been to some games together. But if you what do you eat?
I'll usually eat before because I like to just eat and get it over with, and then just watch the game.
Right.
Not like be just. I'll get like a kettle corn during the game or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll usually get just like a slice of pizza, just because that's, I don't know, it's kind of easy. But my favorite thing to get is at the Ivers concessions. I get the grilled salmon Caesar salad.
That is the randomest thing to get at a baseball game, but okay.
But it's delicious, and it's Seattle, so it's fine.
That's a good point. If it's Seattle, it's acceptable.
And now this year, you can go get some toasted crickets.
Oh! Yes! We need to talk about that. So, we were talking about this earlier. You said you'd try them. They're like chili lime or something like that. You said you would try them. I was kind of skeptical.
I would try them.
I think you kind of persuaded me that I think I would try them. I don't know if I could eat that. There was like a huge bowl. I don't know if I'd eat a whole bowl.
That's true. I don't know what the serving size is going to be, but I think I saw online that at the concession stand it'll be like $4 for whatever however much they'll give you. And as far as stadium concessions go, that's pretty reasonable price.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think it'd be worth it to just get them and try it.
Yeah, I think if we go to a game this summer, we'll try it. And then we'll feed it to your brother, not tell him what it is, even though we talked about it.
Yeah. Roasted grasshoppers. I said crickets before, but grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is.
I feel like they're kind
of the
same.
Sorry, we're disrespecting.
But
we're not eating you crickets. Yeah. We're sorry.
They're grasshoppers, to clarify.
What's the difference between a cricket and a grasshopper?
I don't know. It's too much biology. Let's move on to the next question. So the next question is, before we get to the game, which pub or bar do you like to stop into before? Maybe eat something there instead of getting some grasshoppers.
Or get an adult beverage.
If you are of age.
If you are of age, I'm not of age. Alex Summerfield is not of age. He would not know what bar or pub to go to.
Then what restaurant do you like to go to?
What restaurant? I don't go eat before games. I mean, just maybe if we're going to shout out a Seattle restaurant that's like quick and easy before a game, I like to go to Belltown Pizza. They have really good pizza. But you're
Where's that at?
It's like, it's in Belltown. I think it's just like, if you're on the street that goes down, I'd say that's like the left field line. If you're on that kind of street, you know where like the line is for Fan Fest. If you just keep going north on that road, I think you run into it. I'm not a very good geography, but you're of age, Riley.
I'm of age.
What is your bub or par? Bub or par? What in the world? Pub or bar of choice?
I think you've been watching too much of the Masters.
Oh, the Masters. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, I am of age, although I haven't been to any of those pubs or bars down there yet. There is a Henry's Tavern down there. I think it's on First Avenue, and I've been to another one, but not that specific one, but I'm sure it's, you know, like the same. So that's always good. And then there's McRory's on Occidental, which I've been to, but that was before I was of age, so I just ate food there, but it was really good.
Uh-huh, they had a lot, okay.
It was really sporty in there, you know, like it was a cool environment. Sure it's bumping before the game, you know?
Yeah. There's that beer garden like right across the street from home plate that I always see is pretty popping before games.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know I forgot what it's called, but it's just outdoor.
Yeah.
There's
across
food
from
and
that King Five
adult
building.
Beverage. Yeah, King Five.
Yeah.
I like to go get my food at King Five. They serve good food. Just kidding.
Good all one. Right.
Sorry.
All right, and that was our people's voice.
Is that all we got?
You enjoyed our answers to those questions.
Those were good questions. Send us
some
more
nice
questions.
Yeah, so that's all we've got. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think we should talk about our in-game poll that we do for most Mariner games. I think we should tell more people to vote on our in-game poll that will be on our Twitter page. Sometime between, like, a little bit before the game or throughout the game, we'll have a poll going. Make sure you vote on that. Shout out to all
right.
the people.
And listeners out there.
Yeah.
Who all haven't voted, go ahead and get on there and vote for these, vote on these polls.
Especially because it was my idea and I need to post my idea. Anywho, And shout out to all the people that retweet our stories that we write that are very hard to write. They're very time consuming. Anyway, but shout out to the people that share those on all of our social media platforms. We got a Facebook, Soto Mojo, and then Twitter is Soto Mojo FS for fan-sided. Especially my parents. My parents share a lot of my stuff. I think your parents do too. They share a good amount of the stuff that we write and our podcast that we do. Shout out to all those people. Shout out to, I don't know who else. Shout out to Rita.
Anyone who will read, any Mariners fans who want to read.
Yeah, our loyal listeners, you guys keep us going.
Yep, so we thank you. We're
actually doing something. What else do we have to say? What do you got?
I mean,
say something.
I think we all are just hoping for a better week.
I have a question, actually.
Yep.
So Thiago, or Thiago, I'm sorry. Thiago, we learned it. It's Thiago Vieira,
I believe. Ah.
When do you think he gets the call-up? I was kind of thinking similar time that Edwin Diaz got called up, which was like, what was that, June or July?
I could see that.
I think he gets called up around a similar time, and he makes the same jump that Edwin did from AA to the majors, and he gives that nice shot in the arm to the bullpen.
I could see that.
A little bit worn out by then.
Yeah, it's a little different because Edwin Diaz was already kind of stretched out and shortening his outings down from being a starter.
That's true, yeah.
And Vieira is kind of... He's more just working on his location because he's kind of all over the place. He's got the 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
103.
100-plus, yeah. I'll give him that credit. That is impressive. But you've got to throw it over the plate. So we'll see how that progresses. You know, if he can throw those pitches for strikes, I'd love to see that on the Mariners.
Hicks, yeah. And he won't really be taking over the closer's role. I don't think we expect Edwin to fall apart again.
No, I think that, yeah.
Unless he does have his sophomore slip. I mean, he had his issues at the end of last season, and he just blew that save today, so we'll see.
Yeah, and he did have some strong outings in the World Baseball Classic, too.
That's
so
very true. He was hypey in the World Baseball Classic.
Yep, we'll see. He just got thrown into a bad situation today.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
Nope. So, yeah, let's hope for a better week of Mariners baseball for this next week, and maybe podcast number 8 next week can be a little bit more uplifting.
We'll have some more people here. The Canadian Adam, figure out your Wi-Fi.
Yes. So
maybe our podcast will be so popular we'll get our own, Riley. It'll just be called the Alan Riley Podcast, just because it'll get so many views and listens. I guess listens, not views, but
we'll see.
Because we're just such good hosts of this podcast that we've never done before.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. I think it's time.
All right. So, let's go ahead and sign off here. Thank you guys for listening to podcast 007.
No, 8. No, 7. Oh.
This was 7.
Okay.
Yep. Bye. Alex Sommerfeld, Riley Baker, signing off. Go M's.
Bye. All right, that was good.